Grace to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. For our reflection this evening, we consider both the Old Testament lesson from 2 Samuel and the beginning of the Gospel of Matthew. You may be seated. Some time ago, I heard a story about a conversation between an older man and a younger man. Two neighbors knew each other casually, and they bumped into each other in a coffee shop. "And how's it going?" asked the older man of his young friend. "Well, great," came the enthusiastic reply. "I just learned I've been accepted to law school, and best of all, my parents and my grandparents have agreed to help pay for it." "Well, that's great. Congratulations. And after law school, what do you intend to be doing?" "Well, I'm going to find a job with a good law firm and develop a reputation as a hard worker. I'm going to make money and start to save some of that money for later."
"Wise intentions," commented the older man. "Then what?"
"Well, after law school and once I've established my career, I'm going to get married. We're going to have some children, and we're going to give them the best environment and education that we can."
"You sure are thinking this through," continued his older friend.
"Oh, absolutely," affirmed the younger. "Then once the children are grown and on their own, my wife and I are going to use the money we had put in the bank. We're going to travel and do a lot of the things that we had to put off while we were working and raising a family."
"It's a wonderful plan," the older man concluded. I imagine the older man then gently asking, "Are you sure?"
"About what?"
might come the quizzical reply.
"Are you sure that's how life is going to play out?" Well, that's what I'm planning,"
be likely the way he replied.
And you know what they say, make a good plan and work the plan. So that's what I'm going to do.
Well, the young man's plan certainly sounds commendable. Indeed, a great deal of the economic turmoil that we are in today results from individuals, families, whole governments failing to follow these seemingly simple steps for a sound plan for life. But if you've lived a few years already, and I'll let you decide for yourself how many are few enough, you may have found yourself smiling on the inside at the confident idealism of this young man. You may have even silently, unintentionally had that refrain going through your mind, "Yeah, we'll see." Because a few years of experience teaches, sometimes painfully, sometimes joyfully, that life doesn't often go according to plan. I imagine the older man refraining from offering that insight so as not to squelch that enthusiasm, but perhaps thinking it to himself. King David had a plan, a commendable, honorable plan. He recognized how the Lord had established him to be king over Israel in place of Saul. David was enabled to defeat his enemies and bring the sacred Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem, which, as you might recall from another narrative, David did with a kind of unabashed celebrating. At that point in his life, if an older man had asked, "How's it going?" I imagine he would have heard all about David's grand plans. In joyful thanksgiving, David determined that a proper house, a temple, ought to be built to honor God. That was his plan. And even his spiritual advisor, the prophet Nathan, saw merit in that plan, saying, "Go and do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you." By all evidence, this was a good plan. But then God spoke to Nathan. The Lord's words to the prophet remind me of a refrain
that one of our former principals, Gary Markshausen, said many times during his tenure here at Trinity. Gary would remind us, God has a plan and God is in charge. And God's plan did not line up with David's plan. God's plan was to thoroughly establish David's kingdom and thereby solidify the covenant between God and his people. Yes, a temple would be built, but later, and by one of David's sons, not him. God's vision was broader than David's. The Almighty was looking further ahead in history at the unfolding of the great plan of his own benevolent making. So God declares through Nathan, your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. Not because of anything David had done or would do, because God had ordained it to be so. For God knows that even the grandest and most enduring of temples is still temporary. We may not consider our own worship home a grand temple, but it is surely a beautiful, strong sanctuary, and one need only consider the ongoing burden of maintenance and repair to recognize how true that is. Joseph, too, had a plan, a commendable, honorable plan. But it was not one born out of joy and celebration, anxious enthusiasm toward the future. It was born out of disappointment and duty. He was pledged to be united in marriage to Mary. How exciting that must have been. Until what appeared to be serious scandal interrupted his expectations. At that point of his life, if an older man had asked of Joseph, "How's it going?" I imagine he would have heard a very different account than either King David or our enthusiastic young law student would deliver. The older man would probably have heard a tired voice, burdened by the conflict of intense social pressure on the one hand, and an equally strong sense of righteous duty and love on the other. It surely wouldn't have been a plan of success, of wealth and family and future leisure, anything like that. It wouldn't have been a plan describing how this craftsman would use his skills to build something truly notable and make a name for himself. It would have been a humble plan to simply protect the woman he loved and nothing more. But God has a plan and God is in charge. And so Joseph, like David before him, heard the word of the Lord, this time delivered not through an earthly prophet, but through a heavenly being. Joseph, son of David, he heard in that dream, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And Joseph, like David before him, listened to God's word and followed according to the plan of the Almighty. As you prepare again to celebrate the incarnation of God's plan, the birth
of that child foreshadowed to David and foretold to Joseph, how would you answer that question? How's it going? Some of us might boldly proclaim a view of the future that is exciting and promising, full of joy and anticipation. The kind of plan that might cause you to dance like a fool, or at least like an ancient king in the streets in celebration. Some of us might speak in a hushed voice about attending to those things that are truly needful, though not necessarily joyful. How's it going? Whatever your circumstances tonight, be assured once again that God has a plan and God is in charge. He declared to his people through the prophet Jeremiah, when times were dark and they lived in exile from their homes, that his plan was to give them hope and a future. So he promised to David. So he promised to Joseph. And so he promises to you. That plan was prophesied even from the days in the garden. It unfolded throughout the ancient generations of God's people. Its fulfillment journeyed from a manger through a cross, beyond an empty tomb, culminating in hope and an eternal future. And now and always, we are and we will be a part of that plan. Amen. May the peace of God, which far surpasses our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds assured that you are a part of God's plan in Christ Jesus, now and always. Amen.